welcome back to the podcast. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at the letter of James. Now, we live in a world that tells us what to think day by day. Is that something a Christian should just live with? Well, James, in this letter, he wants to warn us about double-mindedness, living as if we are a Christian and a non-Christian at the same time. So let's dive in and hear what he has to say. How can we deal with worldliness? As we've worked our way through James so far, we've seen the issue of worldliness. The temptation is to take what the world offers and to run after it. Whether that's in the way we think, the way we act, the way we say things. Worldliness is a big issue. And James has been saying that to take worldliness as a Christian is a really bad thing. Why is that? Well, because it rejects God. It's like a husband cheating on his wife. Do you remember that from last time? Back in James chapter 4, verse 4. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Worldliness is at odds with God. It's to be double-minded. That's James's favourite phrase in this letter, isn't it? You can see it again in verse 8, actually, this evening. To be worldly and a Christian is double-mindedness. And so, if that is an issue for Christians, well, what should we do about it? How can we deal with worldliness? Now, I don't know what pops into your mind when you think about dealing with worldliness. Perhaps it's restricting what you can watch on television. I can deal with worldliness by unsubscribing from Netflix. Perhaps it's avoiding alcohol. That used to be a big part of certain holiness movements. Don't drink, don't chew, don't go with girls who do. My youth group growing up used to have that issue. Perhaps it's giving something up. Perhaps if I gave something up, I could avoid worldliness. That's the idea behind Lent, isn't it? If I don't eat chocolate for 40 days, that'll do it. Well, for those first reading James's letter, similar ideas might have come to mind, perhaps not the Netflix one, but being nicer to people at church, no matter what they look like, saying nicer things to people. The issue is, James says, the worldliness is not primarily an external problem. And because it's not primarily an external problem, doing something isn't the way to deal with it. Instead, Dr. James here says the issue is internal. He says it's an issue of pride. You can see that in the things James says in this passage this evening. I'm going to read for us James chapter 4. We're going to go from verse 1 down to verse 10, just so we can get the context. James chapter 4, verses 1 to 10. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favour to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. As I said, you can see the internal issue of pride in the things that James says in this section. Just have a look at verse 7. It's the word submit. If you have a look at verse 10, James uses the word humble. The solution to our worldliness, according to James, is humility. That is, to come before God and admit that we are wrong and he is right. So stop seeing ourselves as the solution to our problems and instead to turn to him. Humble yourself by God's grace. That's where James starts this chunk off this evening. Verse 6. But he, that's God, gives us more grace. That is why scripture says God opposes the proud, but shows favour to the humble. God gives the grace needed to be humble. As I've said, worldliness is a heart issue. It's a sin issue. Just like the word sin, spell it out, S-I-N-I, is at the centre. Now, if you remember the examples James has given us previously, we had selfish ambition, the small voice that says to you, go on, you deserve it. We've had envy. Why do they deserve that? Surely I deserve it more than they do. All things that put ourselves in the centre. All things that stroke and build up our pride. And James says, verse 6, God opposes the proud, but shows favour to the humble. To be proud is to be against God. Therefore, James can say, verse 7, submit yourselves then to God. Humble yourself. And the way to do that is through God's grace. Realise that God is always right and we are wrong. Yes, painful though that is the solution to our worldliness. To have our pride punctured and to come before God in humility. Now in verses 7 to 9, James gives us three quick lessons of what that looks like. Three quick lessons. The first, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. The second, wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And the third, grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. So let's mull over each of those quickly, shall we? So the first, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. You could sum that one up as turn around. Turn from the devil and turn to God. The Christian life, James says, is a life of constantly coming near to God. There's a real challenge there, isn't there? It's relatively easy to recognise sin. We can spot things we do and we can label them as sin, can't we? It's much harder to rid yourself of it. For example, it's easy to know that gossip is sinful, but it's much harder to stop it, isn't it? There's a famous quote from Augustine, a great pastor from around 300 AD. He wrote his biography of how he came to faith, and the life he was living was one we would definitely see as worldly. And in his Confessions, a book all about his life and coming to faith in God, he remembers clearly thinking this: give me chastity and self-restraint, but not yet. Give me chastity and self-restraint, but not yet. You see, Augustine knew his sin, but he didn't want to turn from it just yet. Recognising sin is easy, but ridding ourselves of it is much harder. Yet the promise is there: come near to God, and he will come near to you. On the grand scale, closeness with God is better than anything sin can offer. Sin is bankrupt. It never delivers. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Turn around. And clean yourself up. That's the second saying here. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Well, we all know about hand washing now, don't we? Particularly right now. But this is much more than just preventing COVID-19. This is a far deeper thing that James is calling us to. Washing hands and purifying our hearts. Think of it like a Brita filter, or whatever brand you have, the water filter in your kitchen. You don't notice how good a job it does at purifying water until you don't use it. Now, this always becomes obvious to me when I visit my nan. My nan lives in the same area of the country as the White Cliffs of Dover, aka Chalk Central. And when you have a drink at her house, your teeth let you know it. You can get chalk from your mouth all day long. Just run your tongue over your teeth and you know you're there. Washing hands and purifying hearts, a washing on the outside and on the inside, a complete power clean. Washing out that double-mindedness, rinsing out the worldliness from within us, and being single-minded again. asking God to keep his promise of James chapter 1 verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. You see, God's grace will give that to us, so we can, by God's grace, clean ourselves up. And the final one, verse 9. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. That's a hard lesson to hear, isn't it? I thought the Christian life was one of joy. In fact, hasn't James said that back in chapter 1, verse 2? Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. But remember what we're talking about here. Humility. Humble yourself before God. See, the Christian life, it isn't a carefree party. Instead, it's realising how utterly sinful we really are. Realising how double-minded and worldly we are. And being grieved by it. Yet, as we realise how sinful we truly are, we can be all the more amazed at how much God has loved us. You see, the more that we grasp how deep our sin goes, the more we can marvel at how much deeper God's grace goes. You see, tears over sin go hand in hand with joy over mercy. Tears over sin go hand in hand with joy over mercy. They're not mutually exclusive. Both are true at the same time. So as we realise that we cannot save ourselves, we rely on God's grace. And that means we do what verse 10 says. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. You see, as we come before God, knowing how sinful and worldly we are, God will lift us up again. So grieve over sin and come to him. God opposes the proud, but shows favour to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. It's clear and plain what James wants us to do, isn't it? How can we deal with worldliness? Well, not by dealing with external things, not by creating more rules to follow. No, because the issue goes far deeper than that. Instead, by humbling ourselves by God's grace. You see, to humble ourselves, the opposite of pride, to realise that God is right and we are wrong, and in the difficulty of that, to embrace it. And to rely on God's grace alone, knowing that God will show favour to the humble, that God will keep his promise to give us godliness. It'd be great to spend some time praying these things, particularly the three things James highlighted in verses 7 to 10. They can be turned directly into prayers, so why don't you do that now? Well, hopefully that gave us some things to think about. Join us again next week. Hey, baby.